Playing Through with Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Welcome to another Playing Through podcast. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran and the Morning Show here with Brian Golf, Brian Wacker, this week at the Genesis watching Tiger Woods firsthand. So we will, when we recap the Genesis, we will have somebody who was there, witnessed it firsthand. But today, we love the technical aspect of golf and technical side of golf as well. Love talking to club makers, love talking to club fitters, like Brian's a club fitter. And so to hear exactly what's going into, you know, golf's changed so much back from hickory shafts and wooden heads.
For sure.
It's changed so much. And so today, we're joined by Mike Yagley, who has some really long title. Actually, I'm going to let Mike from Puma, I'm going to let him tell you what his title is. Mike, tell us one more time. What's your title?
I'm the Senior Director of Innovation and Artificial Intelligence.
See, he sounds important, and that's really all I need to know. And when I go on his Twitter profile, it says he's an aerospace engineer. That means he's way smarter than me, Brian, and probably anybody else listening to this podcast.
And we haven't said it. No. He's from Cobra Golf.
Cobra Puma Golf.
And they have made some extreme innovations just this year.
Oh, totally.
And obviously, I'm a 13-club Cobra guy, so I am so excited to be talking to Mr. Yagley. Explain the artificial intelligence thing real quick for us, if you can.
Well, it was an operation that I had about 3 weeks ago, and they inserted a little probe, and no. Actually, we have made a huge commitment this year to go fully connected in golf clubs. So our entire F8 line is connected, and we're working with Arcos. So the system is powered by Arcos, and every F8 golf club has a sensor in it so that you can track all of your shots just like a tour player and understand where you're really hitting it, where you're not hitting it, and make data-based decisions that will improve your game.
You know, so what's really crazy is I think the Arcos product really is quite amazing. I know that they sell the ones where you put each individual sensor in the top of the club, and you really find out that how far you think you hit your 8-iron and how far you realistically hit your 8-iron are two very different numbers.
They are, and that's funny. That's probably the best example I use, because the 8-iron, it's right there. It's like a scoring club. It's a club you should hit close to the hole. It's a club that if you're really hitting it 151, but you think you're hitting 157 yards, those 6 yards can make a huge difference. And we have seen over the past 2 years that if a player really pays attention to their numbers, they hit it a lot closer to the hole because they make, like I said, just better decisions when they're standing over that 152-yard shot. And if you hit it closer to the hole, you're going to shoot lower scores. It's kind of that simple.
Right.
By having an understanding, as you're saying, having the clubs kind of tell you exactly where they need to go, you know, after X amount of rounds or sessions in your system. And, you know, because I've got the Cobra Connect in my driver. I don't quite have it in my King Forged CB and MBs.
Which they look ridiculous, by the way.
They are
beautiful.
Mine are sexy. I made them sexy.
You really did.
Definitely having Cobra Connect in the irons makes a really big difference for anyone and everyone, especially the more you use it, the more you get comfortable with it. Because at first, it's different. You got to adjust to it, just, you know, remembering to do it. For me, only having the driver, last year I started doing it, and sometimes I'd be like, oh, I forgot to flip the switch on.
Right.
Like, let's go and let's track these stats. And then, of course, you know, as you were saying, everybody thinks they hit the ball 300 yards. You find out real quick.
And
it tells you, hey, this is your smart distance. All right.
Right.
So it's promoted as the first smart set of golf clubs.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it does. It tells you, like, hey, use your head here. Let's use common sense. The smart distance is this range.
Yeah. Everybody hits it good when they nut it. But when you don't nut it, where's the ball really going? Like, is it really going that 157? Or is your normal shot probably, like you said, 150? 7 yards is a really huge difference when you're trying to hit into a green with a scoring club.
Yeah, I tell you. So the data we've seen is about a 15-foot improvement on average every golf hole, if you're really paying attention to your data. And I plug those numbers back into the tour putting performance stats, and you move a tour player from 30 feet to 15 feet, and they gain about 4 strokes.
Wow.
Now, we don't putt as well as a tour player, so we're not going to get those 4 strokes because we don't putt that good.
But your odds are better.
Yeah. So you're seeing almost 3 strokes improvement overall. It was like 3,800 people in the database, and on average it was about 2.77. We'll call it 3 strokes. And if you're a 20 handicap, it was 5 strokes better. If you're a scratch player, it was about a half a stroke better. So everybody got better by understanding their data and just hitting better shots and playing smarter golf.
Now, Mike, you've been around the game a while, I'm sure, and I'm sure you've seen it change. It really is amazing how much technology has come into the sport that we all love so much. How long have you been around the game of golf?
I've been playing since I was 7 years old, and I will say that was a while ago,
so,
without giving any details.
But
yeah,
you've seen the leaps and bounds we've made, whether it's the quality of graphite shafts and how they're no longer, you don't get the crazy dispersion that you used to get in graphite shafts, and whether it's all of the TrackMan data that we're now able to get and see exactly what the ball's doing off the face of the club and how much hotter the faces are and the shape of the heads and the size. And now it's come into this canted bulge and roll, and now the face is changing. And this, I mean, really, it is unbelievable. Where are we going with technology in golf?
That's a great question. And so to date myself, I was persimmon wood steel shaft, 43.5-inch long McGregor tourneys, okay? So that was a while ago. And yes, I've seen the graphite shafts and the titanium heads. And now things that are, they seem subtle, but you look at what you've got in the F8 Plus and the F8 drivers, as we were talking about earlier, you can see the technology. You can see a machined face. And if you had shown me that golf club when I was playing those persimmon drivers years ago, I would have said, never going to happen.
Right.
Right. Because, again, you also mentioned my background. So being in aerospace, I was working at Boeing for years, and I made the jump into golf thinking, how hard is this going to be? Because I was working on aircraft that were supersonic transports meant to fly 300 people at Mach 2.9. I'm thinking, golf club, this is going to be really easy. The amount of science that goes into making a golf club has been staggering to me. The problems that we have to solve, again, staggering, between making a golf club that sounds good, feels good, looks good, it's durable, can withstand 7,000 Gs, puts the center of gravity exactly where you need it in order to hit a shot with optimum launch characteristics, an immense amount of science. So to answer your question, all that science is just going to keep progressing.
I mean, right.
There's so many different places we can go. You hear some guys in the industry saying, oh, the USGA limits have put us up against a wall and we can't get any better. That's just not true.
Right.
Okay. We can make golf clubs better, and we will.
Well,
I think that the biggest thing is going to be making sure that we have a golf club that is the best for an individual player.
Right. And that's the thing is that I have two questions as you're sitting here talking. One is, I feel like, for example, with everybody's got a smartphone in their hand, and we all want the phone to be smaller, thinner, and smaller, yet we want a larger screen, and we want the battery to last longer. For the battery to last longer, the device has to be bigger. So it's really a yin and a yang. We're pulling against one to get the other. I feel like it's the same thing in golf clubs in that we all want to hit the ball further, but yet we all want the club to be more forgiving. So where do we meet on that graph? You've got like the line graph. Where do they intersect where you have to give up some forgiveness to get distance, or one way or the other?
Well, you kind of see it now. Let's take the F8 Plus versus the F8. The F8 driver is meant to be a little bit more forgiving. So its plan form is a little bigger, so we can get a higher moment of inertia. Because of that, we can't get the center of gravity as low, because we're moving the mass out. And if you look at a golf club, when you move it out, you're kind of moving it up a little bit. And as you have heard, and we've all talked about, getting center gravity low, and not bottom of the club, but just a little bit lower than it has been over the past several years,
right,
gives you a little more ball speed, a little less spin, a little more launch angle.
And that's so what we're all looking for.
Got
more launch angle, higher launch angle, a greater ball speed, but a lower rate of spin so the ball doesn't balloon.
Yes. So the answer to your question is actually right now in our product line. Currently, the difference between an F8 Plus and F8 is a great example of the, if I call it a compromise, it's not much of a compromise because they're both great golf clubs, but the compromise between a little more forgiveness versus a little bit more ball speed and a little less spin. So there, like I said, there's a perfect example right now, right in front of us.
When I can speak on the F8 Plus, I know right now that, look, I need that ball to spin as low as possible. That's just me. I'm a higher spin player.
So your spin numbers are what? What's the ball spinning in the twos?
Yeah. I mean, it's normally like a great ball spin, a great backspin number would be 22 to 24 for me.
Right.
Sometimes they creep that 26, 27.
That's a little high.
And then like a really bad poor shot will get around 3,000.
Right.
Know, like a really like a low.
What are you trying to get to in the 19?
No. Just anything 2,000 to 2,400 is just 2, ideal because I launch it high enough. You
can
know,
it be too
thing.
Low? Can we get where the spin is too low, Mike?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Especially if it's not in combination with a high enough launch angle.
Right.
Because you hear people talking about 1,700 RPM and 17 degrees, which, yeah, that will make a ball go a very long way. Now, a lot of people won't like how that flight looks because it's going to fly fairly high. But let's say you're at 1,700 RPM and 10 degrees. That ball's not going to have enough launch angle.
True.
That's
right.
That's actually going to be a pretty bad golf shot.
It's not in the air long enough to be able to carry far enough.
No. You need both. You need both. And there's been golf clubs out there in the past several years, and even golf balls, where they've pushed it a little bit too far, and the spin got too low, didn't have high enough launch angle, and for a lot of players, it just didn't work.
Right. And that's my next question. So I know that you guys aren't in the ball game right now as far as Puma and Cobra, but in the ball game, because I feel like a lot of amateurs that play the game, you ask them what ball they play, and their answer is one of two things. I'll tell you the most popular answers I get. One, I play a Pro V because the tour guys play a Pro V. Or two, I play what I find. Is it?
Yep.
I didn't think you were going to go there. I didn't think you were going to go there.
Because
I've
heard that. My question is there a really big difference? Should people be getting fit for which ball they play? Does it really matter? Does it make a difference?
Yes. I'll start with the simple answer. Yes. I did golf balls for about 15 years before I got into golf clubs. And like yourself, I was amazed at how people just didn't know. And I've heard before Pro V1, you might have heard I play that one in the black box or the blue box or the red box.
Right. Yeah.
They really didn't know. Yeah. And a firsthand example, when I was blessed with super low spin. And I had no idea why I could hit the golf ball as far as my buddies who were probably swinging 10, 15 miles an hour faster than I was. And so they got me into it. I realized, wow, it's because I have super low spin. There are golf balls out there that just don't work for super low spin players.
Right.
Now, I say that, and golf balls have gotten a lot better over the past 10, 15 years. But still, just like with a golf club, I would tell a player, go work with either a good retailer or a good pro and figure out exactly what kind of game you've got. You know, there's people that play bump and run shots and that's their game. They don't hit it very high. They don't hit it with a lot of spin. Could they benefit from a higher spin golf ball? Absolutely. Especially when they learn how to hit those shots. I would work from the green backward and figure out what golf ball would work best for your game so that you can get it on the green and closer to the pin.
It's so frankly, funny you're saying that. So funny you're saying that. I'm going to just interrupt because that's exactly what my issue has been. As I said that I'm a high spin player off the tee, the lower my ball spins, I can't spin it too low. You know, the whole, you know, 1,700 and 15 degrees, like I can do that. And when I do, it's a flat out bomb and it does go high. But at the same time, I want all my distance to go, you know, from carry as much as I can. And then in conditions, you know, if the spin numbers are right, it'll roll out another 20, 30 yards, whatever, like you see on TV, because obviously them courses, the pros are playing it way firmer than what we play, especially down here in South Florida on a daily basis. But I played with the home of the Honda Classic this past weekend, and PGA National, the champ, where they're getting ready to play with Comer Puma Village right there on the Bear Trap. Shout out. We played it, and, you know, the fairways roll out really well there and everything. But so for me, I've always preferred that softer golf ball feel, but I've always kind of been – forced to play a golf ball that spins lower off the tee. And I think I have sacrificed feel around the greens, chipping and putting, my wedge game maybe a little bit as well, by playing these other balls. So I'm going to give you a chance from your experience. You know, what balls, and I don't know if you want to shout out another company or not. You know, I'm a brand agnostic kind of guy, and I play what I love, and I fit very brand agnostic. I don't care if somebody gets Cobra or whatever they got. I don't care what ball. I think it's unique that Cobra
doesn't
make
a ball.
Yeah.
Admit you play a top flight. Admit it right now.
You know what?
Admit it here.
I play what I find, Froggy.
You play that rock flight?
I play what I find. No, so
you're that guy.
What do you guys test your clubs with? Because I'm a firm believer that, hey, if you've got this brand driver and you've got this brand ball, they optimize them together. Play them. That may not be right. Okay. You know, that might not be the right way to go about it. But for someone that is extremely curious, as I'm searching, I'm on ball hunt. I thought I found a good ball last year, but I'm on ball hunt for 2018.
I'll be honest with you. I feel like me personally, I don't know if it's because I just like the other clubs they make. I really, truly do like and feel there's a difference in the TP5X that TaylorMade makes. I feel it's a really good ball. It's different. It feels different to me off the driver. It feels different to me off wedges and a putter.
It's the ball I played.
It just really feels different. Is that the case, or is it sometimes just in our head it's what we want to believe?
You asked one question inside of all of those questions that I feel like I can answer. Okay, you asked what golf ball do we test with. All right, we use Bridgestone, and we're using Bridgestone B330 RXs and RSs. They're good golf balls. They're durable. They spin. They have great aerodynamics. All right. So that I can answer because you could find that out. You can come test with us, and then you could just tweet out and Instagram out, they're using this golf ball.
Well, I'm switching to Bridgestone. Plus, my name is Brian, and there is a B logo
on
the ball.
Yes, there is.
Done. I am done right here. Let's go back to Cobra, okay? I love my F8 Plus. It's amazing. I've dialed it in a little bit, and it's the best feeling, best performing driver that I've hit. I had the F7 Plus. I loved it. My ball speeds are up. I'm on TrackMan every day, practically, you know, hitting balls. Mike, I look at two things. What's my swing speed and what's my ball speed? I've never averaged over 170 ball speed until I got the F8 Plus in the bag.
And now you're like 175.
I got up there the other day.
176
when
we were up there the other day.
I'm excited.
Now, you know, Mike, I do want to ask all these adjustable. So the clubs adjust. You can adjust it to a draw, bias, fade, bias. You can adjust the loft, the lie angle, all that stuff. My question is, the average guy, he can't or should not, I'll say, should not just go buy it. You do absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, need to get fitted, get that driver set up to you, and then leave it alone. You should not be adjusting it on the first tee because you didn't hit it very good on the range. Would you agree with that?
100%. Okay. 100%. We'll start with the first part. The number of players I still see that are trying to hit a driver that is ridiculously low loft or super high loft, or they really need a fade bias club and they just don't do it. And they keep hitting everything right in that particular case. It's an amazing amount of players that with considering the amount of launch monitors are out there, really good fitters like yourself, Brian, all of the resources people have and they don't get fit for a driver, actually all their clubs. It's kind of maddening, but at the same time, it gives, you know, guys like us hope. It's like, we know we can actually help people play better golf. If they come talk to us or talk to you or go into a local retailer, go see their pro, I know they can hit better shots.
For sure.
And then the second part, I know they can. There's no doubt in my mind. The second part, don't adjust it. Yeah. Here's a funny one. We see it with our testing, and I've heard other guys in the industry say the exact same thing. We are human beings, and we react to everything that is around us constantly. Right. We're a reaction machine. So if you hit one a little bit to the right, guess what's going to happen on your next shot, right? You're probably going to close the face a little bit. You're going to do something to hit it a little bit to the left. A test that we like to do here is we turn the launch monitors off at times because we don't want the player to react to what they're seeing in ball flight. And if I was fitting someone, I think I might fit them that way. I'd find a club that, you know, gives them decent launch conditions, and I would give them, you know, the right shaft, the right loft, just get them into something that's really, really close, and then turn off the whole system so they can't see it and have them hit a bunch of shots. Because what we typically see is their dispersion goes way down because they can't see where the ball is going, so they don't react. And that gives you an indication of how they really hit it. And if they're hitting a snap hook, it's like, okay, let's do something to fix that snap hook. So because they hit two snap hooks, they're going to do something to try and fix it themselves. So you're actually putting...
they're going to set up to block one.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I would try and fit someone into a club that really did work well for them. And then I would say exactly what you guys said. Don't change it.
No.
Go play for a while. Go
yes.
play a couple of rounds. Yeah.
Yeah, leave it alone.
Yeah.
That's my thing. And I tell people all the time, because obviously in the custom fitting world, and you know this, and everybody knows this, you know, with all the drivers and the adjustability,
right?
They go, well, I don't want all that. I just want it to be where it's at. And, you know, that's I don't want to mess with all that. It's confusing to me. And it's like, no. The adjustability is a fitting tool.
It's for you,
and
the fitter.
Then when I fit you, it's set.
But let me tell you where it goes wrong. It goes wrong when he's on the tee box Saturday morning with his buddies, and he hits two outright, and they say, oh, well, if you just turn the bottom of that club over to the other side, you'll hit draws. It's like it's that simple. Yeah. And getting fitted really, truly, and I know we have big box stores, and I know those big box stores serve a purpose in our game. I get that. But if you want to play this sport at a high level, and I don't mean a high level being on tour. I mean, if you just want to have a good time, win your club championship.
Play your best.
Play the best golf you can play. I can tell you, getting fit is paramount to playing well. Every single golf club, just like we're all not the same. You may be shorter than your – our muscles are all different lengths. Our muscles contract and expand all differently. You need to go get fitted. I went just a couple weeks ago up to Loft at PGA National with Brian and got fitted for irons. The 7-iron that Brian fit me for, I hit at least 15 yards further than the current clubs that I have. They are of the same maker. They are newer clubs. However, it's a better shaft. It's better for me and makes it easier on my game. And that's exactly why you should get fitted, because there is so much technology in this game today.
Oh, yeah. I saw the same thing. I just, being a homer, I put all F8 clubs in the bag because they're all connected. So I've got F8 driver all the way through the lob wedge. Literally. And same thing with the shaft. I'm working with our stock steel shaft, and I'm hitting just great. I'm hitting it as well, if not better, than my previous clubs. And then the guy says, you know what? I want you to try the shaft. And I'm not going to mention what brand it was, but it was a damn good shaft. And it was graphite. And I've never played with graphite in the irons. And I'll be darned, I gained about 2 miles an hour in ball speed, 3 in the long irons, and gained consistency. So, yeah. It makes a huge difference.
Can I guess which shaft it was or no?
Because
the same thing happened to me. It was a US Team Amir recoil shaft.
That's, you know what? That was my second choice.
Oh, okay.
This was actually, it was a steel fiber Aerotech.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's, I don't call that a graphite shaft.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Right.
There you go.
Okay.
But Froggy, the recoil was a game changer for Froggy, and I'm excited as you're talking about going full F8. My father-in-law picked up the game a year ago. And it got a set of clubs, and they're just okay clubs. But, man, he is excited to put Cobra in the bag, and he's excited to get fit with the right shaft. You know what's really funny about this? And this kind of leads us down another road, which I am really excited about because I want to get him on the podcast, and I want to talk about this as well. But my father-in-law is ready to do the single length. He is so excited about F8 single length.
You just took the next question right out of my head.
Awesome.
There.
And so we're going single length for him. And I truly, he hits his 7-iron the best out of all his clubs. His setup, everything's, you know, it takes a lot of the guesswork.
So that's what it is. So the single length clubs is every club's the length of a 7-iron.
Correct.
Now, what is the upside? What is the downside of the single length set? And nobody better to ask than somebody who is building single length set every single day, seeing the technology and seeing the numbers.
Can we say that going to a bar and having a couple drinks with Mike and Bryson DeChambeau would be the most exhausting possibly have?
There'd be a little golf machine talk there, you think?
Oh, my gosh. All right,
Mike. Have no idea just how exhausting that would be. Oh, my God. Because I'm going to pull a couple of ADD moves on you here in a second, because I want to go back to a previous conversation, but we'll stick with the one length. And that man that you just talked about, Bryson DeChambeau, can I tell you Bryson's story?
Sure,
please.
So we get a call from his coach, Mike Shy, about a year ago, and it was, I think, on a Thursday. He said, the kid's going to come in on Monday, and he's going to stay till he figures it out. And we're all like, stay till he figures what out? And he goes, Mike says, everything. Like, what do you mean everything? He goes, every club in the bag. And the kid comes in on Monday, and he is very serious. He wants to figure out his irons, his metal woods, wedges. You know, at some point he wants to talk about putters. Like, whoa, kid, we're not going to talk putters this week. We're just going to talk about all your golf clubs. And I kid you not, after 5 days, he had a badge. We called him the intern. He was in here before many people. He's turning on the lights. He's getting me a cup of coffee saying, Mr. Yagley, we're going to have a good day today. And it was so much fun. He stayed not just that week, Friday night at about 6:30. This is PM. We're out grinding on some irons. And he looks at me and he goes, what time are you going to be in the morning? Technician standing next to me. And he goes, you know, tomorrow's Saturday. And Bryson goes, oh, shoot, it's Saturday. I'll go to LA. I'll be back on Monday. And sure enough, he comes back on Monday.
Wow.
So by Wednesday of the next week, so this is now, we're 8 days into it, and this is making all of his irons, cutting, grinding, welding, doing whatever it takes to make the irons, going out on course with him, and a couple of my techs kept going out, and engineers were going on course with him saying, the kid's crazy, but he's a great ball striker. He's an incredible ball striker. Yeah. And we figured it out, and it was one of the most memorable, enjoyable weeks we've had, and here's one of the biggest reasons. You get that young man behind a closed door, and I've been with a lot of tour players, and I don't fault them for this. They're going to talk about what's important to them. How do I get a better ball? How do I make a better driver? You know, what can we do to my irons? Bryson did the same, but almost half of what he talked about was making it better for the average player. He would interject that constantly. Wow. I think if we could do this for the average player, it would help them play better golf. When he says it on TV and he's talking about it, I'm telling you right now, he really means it. He really does care about golf and golfers.
That's awesome.
Lot.
So
yeah.
What is the advantage of having all clubs one length? And then if it is such a great advantage, why are we just doing this now? What was the reason for having all different lengths?
All right. So we'll talk about the advantage. The advantage is what you guys mentioned a couple minutes ago, which is you've got a very consistent setup. And it's not the same swing. It can be. You could put the same swing on it every time, but humans just don't do that. There's a big difference between a 3-iron swing and a pitching wedge swing.
Oh, for
sure.
It's
just a different intent, right? You're just trying to hit it a different way.
Right.
But if you can put the ball in the same place every time, you have reduced the number of variables
right. In
your setup, in your swing, ultimately in your swing. And so you're going to go from, and it, look at a typical player, and they might use, heck, 50% of an iron face. There's ball strikes all over the place. And you give that player, say it's their 5-iron, and they're whacking it all over the place, you give them a 5-iron that's the same length as their 7-iron, and they might see a 50% reduction in the area of all those ball strikes.
So the dispersion rate changes as the shaft gets shorter because you're a smaller distance from the ball.
Yes. And it's interesting. Just like I said before, where people react to what's, you know, their surroundings, they also get used to their surroundings. So on top of your hitting it closer to the center more consistently because it's one length, once you practice with the one length more, you actually see more benefit. There's synergy because you get a consistency improvement just because of one length. But then when you practice, like I said, with one length, you get even more consistency. And we saw this. We would test with players, and we'd test through a progressive length set, and we'd see. Then we'd test with the one length set, and we would see improvement. But then we noticed over time, we would see even more improvement, faster than you would with the progressive length. Again, it's just because it's a real simple, consistent setup. We design the clubs so that they're the same mass, whether it's a 5-iron or a pitching wedge. We have to put weight into the long irons and take weight out of the short irons.
Yep.
So that they're all the same swing weight, same mass. That starts to get into some of the additional improvements that we could make. By putting more mass into the long irons, we put it low, we put it wide, we make those longer, which in this case, I always have to catch myself. I have to use both terms. It's a lower lofted, longer hitting club. It's not a longer iron anymore. It's the same length.
Right. I never thought about it like that. Yeah. You
just
know?
Lower lofted.
Yeah. I just call my 3, 4, 5-iron long irons.
Long irons.
Yeah. Yeah. They still are because you're trying to hit them long.
Right.
Yeah. There's two reasons for length. Is it you're trying to hit a great distance or is the club longer? In this case, it's a greater distance. So with the F8 irons, you will notice that we have made the sole a little bit wider in the longer irons to help get that center gravity low, which helps get the ball in the air. And then we've made the center of gravity actually a little bit higher in the shorter irons, again, to help flight that golf ball. Because I'll weave in one of the things that is a big question mark or concern with players. If you go to a shorter length, longer club, you will have less club head speed. That's just a fact. You're going to.
Right.
Yep. And you're going to get, what we have seen is, your launch angle and your spin are actually very similar to what you would get with a progressive length set of irons. You lose ball speed. So getting the center of gravity low gives you a little more launch, a little less spin, and a little bit more ball speed. So that helps mitigate that length degradation. But I can tell you, for the players that it works for, the length degradation is completely outweighed by the more consistent
consistency
impact.
Right. So you're giving up a little bit. So there is a little distance give, but what you're giving in distance, you're gaining three or four or five fold in consistency, which is way more important. Just take a little extra, just take a little bit longer club.
Well,
a little bit, not a longer club, a lower lofted iron.
Right, but no, you hit the middle of the club face more, you're going to transfer more energy to the ball, therefore it's probably, there's an opportunity for you to gain distance than what you're playing now, because there's, like, my father-in-law is a perfect example.
Right.
He doesn't hit his 5-iron very consistent, but he's going to rock out with his 5-6-iron. He's going to hit it a lot more consistent.
You're both right. So here's what we've seen. We've seen 5 handicaps come in and do the testing. And this is, I love this setup. So let's pretend we've got a 5 handicap that really believes they hit their 8-iron 180 yards. And they do when they hit it right in the screws. But if we set up a hole where you have to carry it 175 yards because there's water at the very front edge of the green, and on top of it, you're on number 17 in your club championship, and you really do have to hit it at least 176 yards, or you're dead. You're just dead. It's over. Palms will start to sweat, okay? And I give you 10 swings at that, and a decent player, sometimes it's only 2 out of 10 hit it 176 yards, and the rest of them are in the junk. They're in the water. They're dead. You give that player a one-length club, and now it's 7 or 8 out of 10 that carry at least 176 yards, and they're fine. And that's when the light bulbs go off. That's when a player turns around and goes, wow, this really works. That's one of our best examples. Yeah, there's many other examples. Like, if you're in one position the whole time, like I said, consistency of swing, there's a lot of players out there that have bad backs. They just do. And I put you in one position the whole time, and you're not hunching over a short iron. You're not extending a long iron. You're just hitting a 7-iron. It's just better form.
So I played, or I tested. I won't say I played. I tested the one length. I got to test the whole set, at least 5 through gap wedge I got to test.
Right.
And I'm a taller player, and I'm all legs. Okay. So for me, Mike, I play my irons now 1/2 inch long, mainly for weight savings. I should still probably play them about 3/4 inch long, but you know, I just can't get the club to get, you know, too heavy. So I play them in 1/2 inch, and I did the one length though, and did TrackMan testing and all that. And the ball flights were a little different. It felt, and I think that might've been more because I was still setting up maybe a little more traditional. And so I wasn't getting that consistent feel. But I can tell you, and anyone that has ever hit me up, and this is since I tested them about a year ago, they work. There's something to it. There is something to it. And people, you know, my father-in-law, I'm excited for him to try them and get them. Because,
especially for consistency basis. To able to hit the ball in the center of the club face is half. Yeah. That's 3/4 of the battle.
I just know that my father-in-law is going to commit to them. And if you commit to them, there's no reason to turn back. I mean, honestly, there isn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't willing to commit to them. I like a little less offset. You know, I really do love my King Forged MB-CB combo set. The flow set's great. If I could have them all in MBs, I would, just because I really love that shape and that look and that feel. But I tried the Forged ones, the one length, and they felt amazing. They're right there.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm really excited for my father-in-law to get going with those. And I'm actually, you're going to laugh at this, and you may say, Mr. Aerospace, director of everything, alien and aeros, you know, whatever, Mr.
We're going to retitle you before this is over,
Mr.
Mike.
Mr. Artificial Intelligent. You are artificially intelligent. We know, between you and DeChambeau. So my whole thing is, I'm going to cheat the system, because as I just said, my irons are a little longer, And right. My wedges are a little longer too, okay? So that makes them mm-hmm. a little too heavy.
Right.
And they're actually, because the wedge heads are a little heavier than my irons, I've got, you know, the king
wedges. So the longer the shaft, the heavier the head feels.
No, it's the other way around. The shorter it is, the heavier the head is because, you know, you've got to make up for the shorter, the weight loss of the shorter shaft. So anyway, I'm actually going to be getting here in March, I'm going to get the black one-length wedges.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put them on my longer shaft because the lighter head weight of those wedges, since they're made for a longer shaft, probably going to be a little more consistent with my set. And I just cheated the system. Give me a degree in aerospace engineering.
That's right.
You have more than an honorary degree. You are now a graduate. That was really good. That was solid.
Yeah, so that's my plan. That's my plan. And I'm excited about that. And people don't think about those options. But as soon as that happened, I was like, light bulb. And if I need to heavy them up a little bit, I'll just add a little bit of tungsten in the epoxy and boom, you know, I'm not very much of a club builder. I'm just around great club builders. I'm a club fitter and I stick to my guns. And I definitely am excited for being a part of Cobra Puma this year. Got a lot of great things. The milled face. We cannot let you leave this podcast without talking about the milled face. I explain it to those as best as I can, which is, look, you're getting a more consistent product. One, you can see the technology. And anytime you can see technology, that's pretty sick. We had a little bit of that with the LTD when you could actually take the spaceport off, which spaceport, I for some reason feel like that was your idea back with LTD, but maybe not. Maybe you're just part of that team. But, you know, since you are artificial intelligence, I would assume that you are the spaceport, creator, the president of the spaceport. But my thing with that, the milled face, was the consistency of the build and the product you're going to get. Whereas a lot of hand-shaven faces on drivers, they're all going to come out maybe a little bit differently. Maybe you're going to have one that's a little thinner, maybe a little thicker, maybe in different spots. It's not as consistent, where with the milled face, you're consistently getting exactly what was the idea created in the idea room, I guess you could say, behind the tech. And that means that Ricky Fowler's F8 Plus face is the exact same as mine and yours, Mike. Am I wrong?
I do not need to say anything else. You nailed it.
I did it.
I think you have a graduate degree now.
Send my check in the mail.
Aerospace.
Boom. Send my check in the mail.
And artificial intelligence. Yeah, no, you said it all. If I were to pile on a little bit, it's not like drivers have been bad, but like you said, they're all hand ground right now. You can go on our website and you can see how a driver has been made, a metalwood driver has been made for the past 25 years. And from a designer standpoint, from an engineering standpoint, it's kind of heartbreaking and frightening at the same time.
Yeah.
Because they design to fractions of a millimeter and fractions of a gram. And you take a faceplate, you weld it into a head, there's a large weld bead around that faceplate, and somebody goes at it with a grinder. And there are sparks flying. Right. And there's fire, flame, and lots of noise. And then they do a little feeler gauge check, just like you would do with a contour gauge. Trying to think where people would see contour gauges. If you're making any sort of a complex shape, you've got a template that you put down on that shape and you keep reshaping it until it matches the template. And that's what they're basically doing. So they grind it once. Then they polish it, and that's euphemism right there, because the polisher is a grinder.
Yeah.
And they check it again. And then on top of it, once they've got the shape about where they want it to be with a visual template, the club could weigh 3 more grams because, you know, they have to, let's say they have a target weight of 185 grams when it's empty without putting any weights or any of the additional materials into it. If it weighs 188 grams, they've got to take 3 grams off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll go back at it with a grinder.
Unbelievable.
And again, the designer and engineer starts crying, saying, please don't grind there. Please don't do that.
Right. That's my art that I designed to perform a certain way and look a certain way, feel a certain way, and you're changing it. That's why sometimes certain drivers, not going to name names, but sometimes they feel a little bit different than the one you tried in the store or the one your buddy has.
They feel harder.
It's not always just the shaft. It's not always that.
It's the head.
Because there's way too much human going
on.
I
heard Tiger the other day was talking about testing. He was talking about how he was hitting a bunch of different drivers, and they'd give him 10, 15, 20 heads. And he had said that each one felt a little different. He hit one until he found one that he liked.
I don't like that. I like that solid, muted feel. I like to feel that ball leave the club face, and the Cobra F7 Plus was the closest thing to perfect for me.
Right.
The F8 Plus, when it came out, I was like, done. And that's what it was, is I tried F8 Plus and I tried a couple other of the new drivers and I said, I'm going Cobra this year because of that. The only club I don't have in my bag Cobra right now, and it's in the, I think it's in the mail, is my F8 Plus 3-wood. Right. Same deal. We're not quite to the milled face on the 3-wood. I'm going to assume that that tech is eventually going to get there, right?
I have no comment on that particular statement. But yeah.
You know what? I feel you.
I tell you what, that F8 Plus is going to really make you happy. That fairway is going to make you very happy. It's based on the LTD fairway, which is a carbon fiber crown.
Unbelievable club.
Yeah. And I tell you what, that F8 and F8 Plus fairway, they might be our sleeper this year. People are, of course, they're going gaga over the F8 and F8 Plus driver because they look really, really cool. And they perform very, very well. But the fairways, I think, might be our sleepers. They're so good.
I think the F7 fairway wood was the star of last year, honestly, because I'm not just for me, I'm a digger. Okay. So I'm not a great three wood off the deck player. The F7 changed my world with those rails on the bottom.
Yep.
It just changed how, you know, the contact that I was making with the ball. And I've recommended to a lot of people, whether you're getting F8 or F7, obviously they've changed it up. The look, the tech that goes in it, it is a little bit different. They're game changers. For me, the only reason F7 came out of the bag was because it spun a little too much. I would hit it off a tee, and I'd be able to hit it, you know, maybe kind of pop it up on the tee a little bit and hit it a little higher on the face.
Right.
I could hit a high bomb, like, you know, where I want it, but I would spin it a little too much. So F8 Plus is exactly what I needed. Cool. I'm excited for it. It's really made a big difference, and I think there's a lot of exciting things, and I think you've got a lot of fans in the golf world. You might not get as much attention. You know, I mean, Ricky Fowler brings you a lot of attention.
And
Bryson DeChambeau brings you a lot of attention, but you may not get as much attention as some of the other companies. I think this is going to be a sleeper year in general for Cobra.
But
I think
before
you're
gonna win. We let you go, I must ask.
Yes. Yes.
My favorite tour ambassador that you have is the beautiful Holly Saunders. I want to know, have you tested with the beautiful Holly Saunders before, and how's that golf swing? How sound is my girl?
I did, actually. We got to go out to a local course, and we spent a full day with her. The woman can hit the golf ball.
Is she not the nicest person ever, though? She's such a sweetheart, too.
And she is. You know, it's funny. Just like Bryson behind the camera, he really does care about the average golfer. When the cameras are off and you just stand there talking to Holly Saunders, she's a very pleasant human being.
She really is. And she's a really, really sweet girl.
Yeah. And I would say that about all of our people. I mean, our ambassadors are good people. That's why they're with us. They're just good to work with. They care about the average golfer. They care about the game. And they're pleasant to be around.
I had one interaction with Ricky when the tournament, when the WGC Cadillac was here at Trump Doral. A couple years back, I believe it was 20, may have been 13. It was either 13 or 14. Was that an event? Ricky was there, just kind of passed him, and we were just walking. It was around a pool in South Beach, and we were just walking around, and I just stopped and started talking to him. 30 minutes later, I'm still standing there talking the technical side of the swing with Ricky Fowler, just a very welcoming, wonderfully nice human being.
Yes. Yeah. That's why we love him.
That's
awesome. He's a great guy.
Mike, thank you so much for your time. I really feel much more educated. I'm really glad we got to talk to you about the single length set. I have always wanted to ask questions about that. Now I feel much more educated. And just to understand about exactly everything you guys are doing and where technology is taking this sport that we love so much.
It's been my pleasure. And you guys said it best. Everyone, go get fit for golf clubs, right? Get fit, play better golf. Give those Cobras a shot because I'm telling you, they're darn good golf clubs. And you're going to be very pleasantly surprised when you try some of that stuff.
Agreed. That's why I've got them all in my bag, man.
Right.
That's why I've got them all in my bag.
Right.
Mike, I'm going to make a goal of 2018. I've got a friend that lives not too far from your neck of the woods. I'm going to try and come visit Cobra, and I want to see how Cobra does their testing. I want to see
it
all.
Cool.
I think I know a person or two that could help me get in the door. So I may be pulling those strings.
That's awesome.
Anytime.
Good deal. Thank you so much, Mike. Right. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. If you want to find more about Mike, he's on Twitter, at Yagley, YAGLEY _Cobra. Learn all about all they have to offer. I know you're a huge Cobra fan. I know you really believe in what they're doing, and they really are making huge strides. with technology in the golf industry. It's crazy how much has changed.
It's crazy how much technology that man has been responsible for in the golf clubs we use. It's crazy to me. So, you know, for me to actually use the tech that he puts in my bag, that's pretty amazing. And who would have thought, man, that that's what golf equipment was all about.
And at the end of the day, he got to spend the day on the golf course with Holly Saunders.
Yeah.
Who's better than him?
Nothing else matters.
Nobody.
I think you've had enough.
Playing through.
Noah? Now you've had enough.
With Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Bitch.